Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found Nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Final hour of Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porth taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to the first Titans loss of the season, 27-24 against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. The Titans drop to 5-1 on the season. And Joe, the big talking point today, as it has been even in the wins so far this season for the Titans, their defense, especially on third down, just atrocious yesterday. Pittsburgh goes 13 of 18 on third down, coming off a couple of weeks ago where the Buffalo Bills went 13 of 17 on third down, and the Titans found a way to win that game by 26 points. If you're the Titans and you keep giving up third downs to the other team conversions at near a 60% rate right now, even if it's a 50%, that's really, really bad. That's going to catch up with you at some point. It certainly caught up to them yesterday. They could not get off the field in the first half when it mattered the most and dug themselves a deep hole heading into the second half.
Yeah, just, you're talking 61% for this defense on third downs allowed, which is, in the last 20 years, the worst in the NFL was the Chargers of 2011 at 49.2%. The Titans last year were at 36%, even with no pass rush last year. And, you know, at times with a secondary that was not great and was banged up, 36% last year, eighth in the NFL on third down. They have plummeted to absolutely dead last with a bullet, way dead last, 61%. By the way, the red zone defense, 31st, touchdown percentage like 81%. So both of those things, third down in the red zone, if you are a team with a third down against the Titans in the red zone, you might score with a behind-the-back pass at this point.
A behind-the-back pass?
Roethlisberger
almost tried that a couple times yesterday.
He did the longest Brett Favre pass I've ever seen.
It was really impressive how much air he got on that shovel pass. It was like 20 yards in the air. It was great.
It was. To Ebron.
He threw one like running away and behind his body to James Conner.
That
was really
stupid.
Lucky that Conner caught that ball, because if he doesn't, I mean, that's a fumble. Unless you're the referees from that Auburn-Arkansas game, that's a fumble on that play.
Yeah.
And the Titans have a good chance to pick that up and maybe not score, but at least get the ball.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the SEC refs. They helped Auburn again this week, by the way.
They must be. What's going on there?
I don't know. But people just – it's like holding on, Gus. Come on, Gus. We'll help
the
you,
Gus
buddy.
Bus, baby. They're not very good.
No.
But we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. Now, also, you add on the defensive struggles, which, let's be honest, even in the wins – they've been there. The defense has been the weakness of this team so far through six games. The Titans are 5-1 in spite of this defense. But now you've got some kicking woes showing back up. Gostkowski misses yesterday from 46. He made the one from 51. 1 of 4 in his last two games. And 5 of 11 on the year inside 50 yards. That is a percentage where if you're the Titans, you can't have that.
No.
You cannot have that moving forward. And if that doesn't get better, I don't know what the solution is there, but you can't ride out the rest of the season going below 50% from inside 50 yards. I mean, you're not going to win that way.
Right. And again, you can take away the first game if you want. It's the first game. It's this crazy offseason. He just got in and started to work out with them. That was a late signing, and he still hits a winning field goal. Then he goes nuts the next couple weeks, but he has not – I mean, Gostkowski has not been – an asset as a place kicker since September. You know, and he absolutely won him that game at Minnesota. But 1 for 4, and like you said, the 5 for 11 inside 50 is just, it's not good. It can't happen. He hasn't missed an extra point in a while. That goes back to the first 2 weeks. He missed one in each of those games. He's been perfect since then. But This is, I think he's back on the block in terms of, not the trading block, but just in terms of everyone's looking at Gostkowski right now and looking at John Robinson and whether he has to make a move at some point.
And Mike Vrabel was asked yesterday after the game about his confidence level in Steven Gostkowski. Here's what he had to say in his post-game press conference.
How confident are you in Gostkowski right now after that last one?
Confident that he'll make the next one. You know, it's unfortunate. Fully expected him to make it. He expected to make it. And, you know, didn't turn out that way. So we all have a lot to improve on, starting with me, and then going all the way down to the coaching staff and the players.
So that's what Mike Vrabel had to say. There's still confidence that he says he has in Gostkowski moving forward here. But regardless of what happens at the kicking position as you move forward, what did the loss yesterday and the way that game played out for the Titans tell you about where they fit into the NFL picture at large? And maybe more importantly, what did it tell you about the Steelers in the AFC?
Yeah, I think the Steelers are absolutely legit. Thought so before the game, think so now. Sometimes, you know, I do this, and it's kind of cliche, but I did it like with Tennessee and Kentucky. You know, I still think Tennessee's a better team than Kentucky. They lost 34-7 to them. But I still think Tennessee's a better team. You won't convince me otherwise. Based on what I've seen of those two teams all year, it was just one of those games where crazy stuff can happen in a football game. So let's do that with the Titans and Steelers. So if they played 10 times, who have you got?
I'd give the Steelers 6. Titans 4.
I might go 7. I might go 7 to the Steelers. I think they're better. If they played in the playoffs, could the Titans go beat Pittsburgh? Sure.
Sure.
Of course they could. So, I mean, I think the Titans are still – I mean, they're not any different place than I thought they were. They're a cut below, I think, Kansas City and Baltimore, and I think a cut below the Steelers. Steelers and Baltimore will play, and that'll be very interesting, big-time game.
By the way, Baltimore's opened up as, I think, a 5.5-point favorite.
That's a big line.
That's a big line.
That is a big line for that game. I think the Titans are right there. Titans can, if they put it all together, they can be right there. They have to figure out on offense, dealing with Lawan being lost. It's still going to be something we talk about all year. It's not going to be exactly the same, but the defense is a problem. Kicker, they'd figure out. But the defense right now, what is the solution? Can they get to okay? They're not okay. On third down, they are, it's absolutely an abomination. So can they make... Can they turn that to okay, so-so, decent? I still think the personnel says they can. But at some point, you keep – and you know what happens too? It's like, again, we talked earlier comparing it to the Preds' power play. It does become something where it starts becoming like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And you can see the total lack of confidence that the guys in the field and the guys on the sideline have when they're in third and long on defense. And it becomes where all of a sudden you get outside yourself a little bit. You're pressing a little bit. There's no comfort because you have to have confidence to have comfort in those situations. And right now, it starts to snowball, and I think we're seeing that some too.
I think so, and I think – I wonder how much when it gets to the numbers, and we heard Kevin Byer talk a little bit about it yesterday, like how much of it is mental at this point, third down? Because, like you said, 61%, it's hard to be that bad. Like you almost have to try – to be that bad defensively on third down. Like, how much of it is mental at this point if you're the Titans? Look, I think the main cause of it is they can't get a pass rush to get home. Even when it's third and 12, the quarterbacks have all day to throw the ball. And when you do that, eventually somebody is getting open. And that's what's been happening against the Titans defensively. But I do wonder how much of it is a mental thing at this point. We talked about the Preds' power play. That was certainly mental. At one point, how much of the third down defense right now is, oh boy, here we go again. Let's see if we can get off the field.
Right. So then it's also, so do you give them, look, they made a play after that drive that takes up 8 minutes. Jayon Brown makes a play in the end zone and they get a pick. So they got a stop. That was a third down, by the way. That was a stop. Third and 13 from the 20. And they finally forced Roethlisberger to actually take a chance because he didn't have to all day. They had a couple other defensive series in the second half where they got stops. You know, you get another pick on the Jeffrey Simmons tips it to Jayon Brown. They got better in the second half than just utterly awful. But again, you get better to get to 13 for 18. So it's coordination, it's pass rush, it's coverage. Adoree Jackson will help some, but if I'm going to even, you know, beyond Dean Pease and Shane Bowen and Vrabel and all that stuff, I think you still look at the guys who are getting paid a lot of money to do something they're not doing at all right now.
And how much confidence do we have that that happens at any point? Like, you and I have both said that eventually we feel confident that Jadeveon Clowney is going to get to a place where he makes some big plays for this team. Maybe he still does, but there really hadn't been a whole lot of evidence to me so far through six games that that's going to happen. Have you seen anything that makes you believe that at some point he's going to snap out of this and be the impact player defensively that they think he can be?
Well, I think it's still possible for him. I think the left knee is, even though he came back, it's a weekly thing. I see very little with Vic Beasley right now. I don't.
Yeah, almost none.
I have not seen the snap counts, but they punt with three outside linebackers, and he still didn't play a ton, and I just don't. I don't notice him out there. So he forced one fumble yesterday. You got to mention that. But that's where I think the confidence right now has got to be low. And Landry, I think, plays hard and can make some plays. I don't think Landry's ever going to be this 15-sack monster. You know, he's an 8-sack guy. But you got to give him other people around him to help him. And, again, I do look at Jeffrey Simmons and wonder why – the way he can dominate at times, why that isn't helping other people, you know? So what if you took that away from it?
Even worse.
They just aren't. They just look so easy to block right now.
Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John from the Borough calling in. John, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Morning, guys. Hey, I just want to say this. I mean, we've had this team since the 90s. We know what kind of team we've always had. We know the style of team we've got. Unfortunately, Nashville's always been this way. We're kind of a fence-riding team, fair-weather fans. We're great when we're winning. We're upset when we're losing. But it's one game. It's low-hanging fruit, people. Let's get over it. Yes, we have a little defensive problem. Yes, we lost a great offensive lineman. Our kicker's kind of eh. But, you know, we've had Al DeGreco. We've had Anderson. We've had great people. Let's just give it another week. We're going to be fine.
Hey, thanks for the call, John. Appreciate it.
Yep.
One, baby.
There's one on the mute button. Gosh. Sunshine blower. John's a sunshine blower. By the way, I remembered what the other term is. It's demand excellencers. So the sunshine
like
blowers and the demand excellencers.
I like that.
John, I like doom and gloomers better.
Yeah, doom and gloomers better?
Yeah.
All right.
Somebody texted in on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com said, you say doom and gloomers, I say realist.
Well, I think the realists say just what Ryan said. The realist says 5-1. Be happy with that. This team has a great offense. Is right there. Also, the defense sucks. Yeah, like that's realism. Okay, does it have to stay that way? No, but yeah, there's a middle ground. There's always a middle ground.
There's always a middle ground. We just never take it.
People don't want to acknowledge its existence at times.
When we come back, are the Steelers the most complete team in the AFC? We'll debate that on the other side. Also, take a look around the NFL as well. That coming up. But first, Joe, I got a word from FanDuel. And let me tell you, it still has the Robbie Stanley stamp of approval over the weekend. And sports betting is almost here. And FanDuel Sportsbook's giving you an exclusive offer to get started. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up. That's right, $50 in free site credit just to register and verify early. No deposit required. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got odds on all the biggest sports and a very simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and then lock it in. And unlike the other guys, once you win, FanDuel gets you your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because that's the right thing to do. So what you need to do right now, go download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and check out that fantastic app for yourself. Just be sure once you sign up and register, use promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, so they know that we sent you. And when you verify your account, you'll receive that $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. That's promo code ROB to get the $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Yeah, Ryan, I guess what's it like to try and come back in that fourth quarter and then have the streak end the way that it did?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, we put ourselves in position to have a chance to tie it up there, but
really, it just comes down to earlier in the game. We didn't do enough offensively. The defense played huge for us in the second half, kept us in it. But offensively, we didn't do nearly what we expect to do. Got to give them credit. They did a good job, but we didn't come out and execute and start to me. So got to come to work this week and clean things up. You're ready to go next week.
That was Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill after the loss yesterday to the Pittsburgh Steelers. A slow start for the Titans offensively. They figured out a little bit in the second half, but ultimately come up short and dropped to 5-1 on the season. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, Joe, now that you've seen the Steelers in person, that offense with a little bit different style under Ben Roethlisberger right now, not taking as many shots down the field. He's getting the ball out quicker, using the perimeter a little bit more than they have been. You look at the defense and how much talent is on that side of the ball. Are the Steelers the most complete team in the AFC right now, in your opinion? The only team left in the league that's undefeated?
No, the Chiefs are. The Chiefs are the best team. I'm on that all the way. They are the clear favorite to me. And, you know, I'm glad the Steelers and Ravens play this week. I think I still would put the Ravens just a tiny little smidge ahead of the Steelers. But I like the Steelers a lot. I think, you know, it's disappointing with the Titans defense. They didn't put Ben Roethlisberger in an uncomfortable situation. Or I guess maybe they did in conventional terms, but it's not uncomfortable to be in third and long against the Titans. But I do question with him against better defenses that can rush him, better defenses that can cover downfield. Can he push it downfield well enough in those big games against better defenses? I don't know. He didn't have to prove it yesterday.
No.
I mean, twice he tried to push it downfield, and he got picked both times. So that's my question with them, but I like their receiving core a lot. You know, Chase Claypool did nothing yesterday.
No.
But Juju Smith-Schuster comes back out. And Deontay Johnson, he made some guys look silly.
He's very good.
Titans kept trying. Is it Ty Smith? Is it Jonathan Joseph? You know, swapping back and forth.
Didn't matter.
Neither could cover him. So, and I love their D. And I think this is why, if you're a Titans fan, you want to be a sunshine blower. Well, your offense still figured out stuff against what I think is a absolutely legit defense. We saw, you know, Fitzpatrick out there making some plays. I mean, they've got a lot of good players on D.
So let's go around the NFL. It was an interesting day yesterday in the league, and we'll start off with the 49ers and the Patriots. The 49ers come in and just hammer New England, 33-6 yesterday in Foxborough. New England drops to 2-4 on the year. San Francisco, the last couple of weeks, has looked very good with Jimmy G, even though he threw two picks yesterday. Coming back in, they're moving the ball. They're rushing the ball really well. George Kittle still being George Kittle, but New England right now, 2-4, they look like they are in some serious trouble. Cam Newton yesterday, not a good day, 9 of 15 for 98 yards, 3 picks. Jared Stidham comes in, also throws a pick. Quarterback position a problem the last few weeks for New England.
Yeah, all of a sudden you see where they're going the wrong way. They look ugly. Think about what we thought just a few weeks ago about the Brady Belichick thing, and now, boy, does that look different.
Tom Brady was phenomenal yesterday. 45-20 win against Las Vegas on the road. Brady, 33 of 45, 369, 4 touchdowns, no picks. Quarterback rating of 127.
And the TD he threw to Miller, probably the dime of the day. He put it at the one spot at the very back corner of the end zone that you had to put it.
It was a 16.1% chance of a completion.
That's
according
right.
to Next Gen Stats.
Yes, yes. And actually, it's right behind you there on the TV. So, yeah, that was he was awfully good. They look amazing. Their defense consistently holding teams down. And that's a good Raiders offense. So
they look like the best team in the NFC South.
They do.
They look better than the Saints.
They do right now. I agree.
And by the way, Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Headed to the Bucs.
See, that's why I don't think they're going to do anything. That the karma will bite them on that. I don't. Why do you need Antonio Brown right now? You got Mike Evans. You got Godwin.
But we called this back in the offseason.
Yeah,
this is not a shock that Antonio Brown ends up in Tampa Bay. He is boys with Tom Brady. They love each other. This is not a surprise to me that this has happened.
But karma's going to get him.
And didn't Bruce Arians say that they were not going to go this route back in the offseason, and yet here we are right when he's eligible, magically, they want Antonio Brown.
He's a changed man.
Yeah.
Right. You listen to Russell Wilson, you listen to Bruce Arians, he's a changed man. This whole thing has humbled him.
Yeah. Sure it has.
Yeah. I mean, hey, listen, you're gonna justify whatever you can justify in professional sports to get talent in, but to me, the stuff that's on that guy right now, it's really disappointing to me that they signed him. And take away all that stuff. How much of a distraction was he in Pittsburgh at the end of his career there? A big one.
Yeah.
There was stuff going on all the time. I feel like the Bucs have a really good thing going right now. Like, if you're Mike Evans, are you happy about this? Are you happy that they bring Antonio Brown in? Or if you're Chris Godwin?
Probably not.
You know?
Number one, you're not getting as many balls thrown your way.
Yeah. But. Like, you're right. It's been something talked about forever, but I think it's a real risk on many different fronts, not to mention a terrible comment on your organization. So, we'll see.
Joe, your beloved Detroit Lions yesterday, 23-22 winners against Atlanta. They are back at 500, baby. Nice. I tell you what, Atlanta, the ways they have found to lose this year are just incredible.
Astounding.
It is. I saw a stat. I think in three different games, late in the game with 2 minutes left, you know this win probability stuff that ESPN throws out there? They've had a 99%, a 99%, and a 95% of win probability in the last 2 minutes, and they lost all three of them.
Yeah,
you know how hard that is to do?
It's incredible. And this still wasn't as bad as like not realizing that you're allowed to cover an onside kick in Dallas, but you're talking about Todd Gurley just don't go in the end zone and you run out the clock and he goes in the end zone. And then it's incredible. And by the way, it's a terrible day on the fatherhood front of trying to convert a 13-year-old from Lions fandom to Titans fandom.
Titans had a chance yesterday to really make a statement.
Well, the Lions had a chance to be who they really are, but the Falcons wouldn't let them. So now it's all this excitement about the 3-3 Lions. Ugh, brutal, man.
Cleveland with a 37-34 win against the Cincinnati Bengals. Baker Mayfield goes off in the second half. 5 touchdowns. Cleveland wins in dramatic fashion, but it comes at a cost. Odell Beckham Jr. injured his knee yesterday. You were waiting to see the news. The news is now out. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. Odell Beckham has torn his ACL. He is out for the season.
Unbelievable.
A whole lot of ACL injuries happening this year.
There's where Antonio Brown should have gone.
Can you imagine?
Had they only known.
Antonio Brown with the Cleveland Browns. You talk about dumpster fire.
That would be – how interesting would that be? Yeah.
That would add some spice to the next time they played Pittsburgh.
Yes, it would.
Right, right. That's awful for Beckham. That really is. Pretty amazing what they did. When in the game was he hurt yesterday?
Well, I don't know. I was watching the
Titans game. It was early because he only had like one target. So it was early in the first or second quarter.
Pretty amazing what they did, you know, without him in that game.
It's the Bengals.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So you got the Titans putting up 50 Sunday?
Yeah, they'll probably have to if they want to win. Joe Burrow's liable to throw for 560 yards on third down on Sunday. So.
He threw for what, 406 and what do you, four?
Four touchdowns.
Four and then ran one in?
Yeah, pretty good day for old Joe Burrow yesterday.
Yeah, that's that division is really interesting. 6-0, 5-1, 5-2. And the NFC West is as good as the NFC East is bad. 5-1 Seahawks, 5-2 Cardinals. Rams are still 4-2. The Niners are 4-3. I mean, all of them. Get them all in the playoffs. Get rid of the East and, like, you know, you can bring the Bucs and Saints and the Packers. Does that take care of it?
That takes care of it. Look, the NFC West is really good. And speaking of the Packers, if Houston wasn't dead last week after their loss to the Titans, they're dead now. 1-6. They're not coming back.
No, and now the question is, I mean, really, like J.J. Watt, and some of these, you know, are they going to be looking to really do some things to sell and to get out of some big deals and try to, you know, build something around that? You can't blow it with this quarterback right now. It's just, you think about what Bill O'Brien has done here. Ah, man.
Great news for Titans fans.
Fire him after that playoff loss and think of the trouble you saved yourself.
When we come back, we'll switch gears and get into the Tennessee Vols. Where is this program right now after their drubbing they took on Saturday against Alabama? We'll debate that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porth taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, it was a tough weekend for the Vols, 48-17 loss to Alabama on Saturday. And I'm not sure the score itself is that surprising, but the reaction afterward has been interesting. You start the season, if you're Tennessee, you're 2-0. You look okay against South Carolina. Your quarterback misses some throws, but you feel good. Missouri, I thought they played pretty well from start to finish in that game. You're up at halftime against Georgia. And to see what's happened to this team and this program since halftime against Georgia has been pretty incredible. Just awful against Kentucky. The pick sixes, digging yourself in a hole that you can't dig out of in that game. And then even on the first play, Jaylen Waddle goes down on the kickoff return, which as a college football fan, just hate to see. He's one of the most exciting players in the country. But even without Waddle, I mean, Mac Jones and Alabama's offense comes in there and does pretty much whatever they wanted to do, hangs up 48 on you in Neyland. 2-3 now, you're the Vols heading into the bye week. This is a crucial juncture for Jeremy Pruitt and this program because if things go poorly and they go off the rails here, starting in a couple weeks against Arkansas, this fan base is going to be in a borderline riot mode because this has been the same story for the last decade plus. Tennessee fans are tired of it. A really important stretch coming up for Jeremy Pruitt and the Tennessee Vols.
Yeah, and it's before you get to that game. How do you use that time? You know, are you getting some young guys going here? I do think that on defense, you got to look at some other guys. There's some bad tackling going on. I know Alabama can make any defense look bad. But tackling, coverage mistakes, things like that, I think you got to look at some other people there. You know, I think that quarterback, it's going to be Garantano. I mean, that's pretty clear from this last game. You can win a lot of these games ahead of you on your schedule with Garantano as your quarterback if your other things go well and play like they should. But I think the Arkansas game really is going to set the course for the rest of the way here.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says the Vols offense has three passes, slant, post, and the out route. If you can defend those routes, you win. We talked last week something to that effect. The creativity in the offense with Jim Chaney has been lacking. And how much of that has to do with who's playing quarterback and how much of that has to do with him calling plays, I don't know. I think it's been a combination of both. I will say I think they found something in this game that can work. I mean, those were no slouches you're going out there against on Alabama's defense. I know everybody looks at the Ole Miss game and you think, okay, well, this defense is just not good. I don't think that's the case. I think they have a good defense. Is it the same Alabama defense that we saw back in 2012? No, probably not. But they still have some very talented players on defense. And Jalen Hyatt, he's got the speed to create some separation. I thought Josh Palmer created some separation. They have weapons at receiver. I'm interested to see as they move forward here, do you get some of the younger guys in? You know, does Jimmy Holloway play? I mean, does Jimmy Callaway play? I mean, they've got a lot of highly touted freshmen and youngsters at that position that have speed, much like Jalen Hyatt does. And I'm interested to see if they can get some more practices in and keep free from COVID, which Jeremy Pruitt says it's been 5 weeks now since they've been affected by COVID. That's going to be really crucial. And an added element to this sort of a season that you have in a bye week that you've got to watch, do your players continue to do the right things when they're maybe not in the building quite as much through the bye week? But if they can and they get some valuable practice time in, do you start to see them go younger on both offense and defense with some of these more talented guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely possible. There was also, you know, late in that game, Brandon Johnson, Garantano got into it on the sideline. Brandon Johnson's been a nice veteran player for this offense. You know, he doesn't give you a lot of speed. Jalen Hyatt gives you a lot of speed. I'm going to correct the texture there. You talk slant, post,
and out.
And out. Oh,
they don't run a whole lot of slants.
They don't run a lot of slants or post. I mean, I think they throw the fade more than anything. Now, of course, that's also they're seeing a lot of middle field coverage because they're seeing a lot of cover one man stop the run and beat us. And so Garantano's throwing up the fade. And it's worked a lot, actually. But I think that point of the texter is Jim Chaney. Can you get more creative? Can you get more creative and less predictable? He's not had a good year at all. So, yeah, they got to get younger, and I do think Jalin Hyatt – I don't know about Malachi Wideman. I think he's the guy who's been talked about a lot. I would like to see Velus Jones use more too. Like
he's been a ghost the last 3 weeks, and I don't know how much of that is him and how much of that is just Jim Chaney, but it's like he doesn't exist.
And sometimes you got a guy who's really fast but isn't a great technician at receiver. I don't know if that's the case or not, but all I know is if you get him the ball – he's a threat, like Jalin Hyatt. Jalin Hyatt's going to be really good, and you can see that already. But Velus Jones, they brought him in, and I thought, you know, you add Hyatt, and now you bring in Jones from USC, and you are a much faster receiving core, but it's not being utilized enough. So I think that would be, on that side of the ball, a good thing to see. And then on the other side of the ball, I think up front, you know, some of these young guys, Tyler Barron, Josh Ward mentioned him earlier. He's a guy who I think has a lot of playmaking ability. Looks like a freshman sometimes, as you would expect. I'd give him a lot of reps here and see if you can get more playmaking there with him.
So Jeremy Pruitt, after the game on Saturday, talked about and was asked about, you know, if he's discouraged of where this program is right now and maybe the gap between Tennessee and Alabama. And essentially what Jeremy Pruitt says is the gap is closing. The gap is not as wide as it was 3 years ago, which – I largely agree with. The roster is in much better shape. But you can't say that after a 31-point loss to Alabama. And we've talked about this a lot. There are problems that are cropping up with this team that you question, okay, why is this the case in year three? Such as, you know, in the Kentucky game, talk about the effort not really being there, chasing down players after an interception. Well, that's, to me, an indictment of the coaching staff. Why is the effort not there with some of your players who have experience? The preparation maybe not being there. Okay, well, this is the third year of you as a coaching staff. Why are your players not taking the necessary time to prepare for these games? And if you see that and recognize that as a coach, why are you not addressing it? And if you are addressing it, why are they not responding to it? There's a lot of questions that come up. So the question I have is if you're Jeremy Pruitt, and you say the gap is closing, how is the gap closing? I think that's what Tennessee fans want to know after the loss to Alabama over the weekend.
Yeah, and I think he was referring to, especially when you started with, I was on the other sideline, I think he's referring to the personnel, and that's fine. You just, yeah, that's not when you say it. You don't say it then, and you don't say it that way. And the troubling things to me, beyond that, which I know a lot of Tennessee fans got mad about, but the troubling things to me are, you just pointed out, one is, as soon as things went bad in the Kentucky game, they got stopped on a three and out. It was like they played at about 80% effort the rest of the way, and they got drubbed. And that's disappointing. The 12 staff changes, a lot of them are understandable and maybe good changes. And, you know, you can look at each one individually and maybe come up with a good reason, but it's a lot in total. And if you have that little continuity on your staff, it's going to be harder to build this culture.
You did it.
I know. But I said it in a sarcastic way to make sure you realize I don't like that word. It's overused. But really, like, you're trying to get these guys to be winners, to play with that full effort. When their quarterback throws a pick, go tackle the guy, you know? Good programs do that stuff. It's harder to get all these things done if you're constantly changing your assistant coaches. Assistant coaches are so important in college football programs. So those are the troubling things to me. And this is very much like last year now. It's not as extreme, but it's also a year later. You know, 1-3 after that Florida game. I mean, seriously, people were like, is there any way to get out of this contract, right? I mean, Pete Thamel from Yahoo wrote the, you know, when is Fulmer going to be taking over for Pruitt and all this stuff. Okay, it's not that extreme, but it's a year later. And you've got Jeremy Pruitt and that staff have got to figure some things out, because it's not just getting blown up by teams that are way better than you. It's just some of these effort, some of the, you know, mistakes. How many times have they had to take a timeout on defense because they had a bad substitution issue?
Yeah.
Like, they have to lead the nation in that. That's, come on. I mean, that's coaching. That's operation. That stuff can't happen.
You got flagged 3 times the other day. Too many men on the field. Now, a couple of those were injuries, and they just couldn't get off field in time, and Alabama snapped the ball. And that is what it is. But it's happening too much. And the other thing you're going to start to run up against if you're Jeremy Pruitt, and I already see it some on Twitter, is, you know, Sam Pittman's in year one. Arkansas looks like a completely different team. Kirby Smart in year two had his team
at the in the national championship game. We realize, especially in the Georgia scenario, it's not the same comparison. I realize that. But you're in year three. It doesn't take 6 years in college football to turn a program around with a coach that can come in and get the job done. He's not going to have a whole lot of time left before Tennessee fans look around and say, when is this going to get better? Or is this Butch Jones 2.0 coming in?
Well, if you go lose to Arkansas, which has been awful, there's no way you can say, well, he inherited some good guys at Arkansas. Chad Morris in his year really turned it around. No, a terrible team that Sam Pittman has turned around. Barry Odom as D coordinator has done a great job. It's also a team with Felipe Franks at quarterback. I mean, you got to go win this game.
Yes.
And if you don't, then that's exactly what people are going to say. They're going to say, oh, so this guy in year one is better than you, and this is year three? So what are we headed for?
When we come back, we will look ahead to the week in sports. Also, recap the Titans game over the weekend, give our final thoughts on the loss to the Steelers. That coming up next. But first, during Big Night at the Museum, Modern Music Masters will hold history in their hands, playing timeless songs on some of country music's most treasured instruments, premiering at 8 p.m. on October 28th, live on the Country Music Hall of Fame's YouTube channel. Big Night is a much-needed fundraiser for the museum and an unprecedented musical event. Subscribe at countrymusichalloffame.org/YouTube and tune in on October 28th. Some of the artists performing include Kane Brown, Miranda Lambert, and Tim McGraw, just to name a few. So make sure you're tuning in for that. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Are you or your kid dressing up as a Nashville Predator, Titans, Nashville SC player, or a sports star for Halloween? Then enter the ESPN The Game Nashville Sports Costume Contest presented by Wilson County Hyundai at thegamenashville.com for a chance to win a $100 gift card to Nashville Underground. Just submit a picture of you or your kid in the sports costume, and you are entered for a chance to win. The contest closes on Monday, November the 2nd. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and it's been a wild and wacky World Series so far in Major League Baseball. The Dodgers, with a win last night, they lead the series 3-2, and they've got a chance to close it out here in Game 6. But the ending on Saturday night in Game, I guess that would be 4, was just incredible. And it really came out of nowhere, and it's a couple of plays in a row that you would expect MLB players to be able to make. But Tampa wins in dramatic fashion on Saturday night. And we want to play the call from Fox Deportes from that game on Saturday night. Here's what the call sounded like.
Batazo, la pelota es imparable. El juego se va a empatar. Pierde la pelota en el central Taylor. Viene el tiro hacia el home. No hay nadie. A Rosarena está anotando. ¡Qué juego! En la Serie Mundial se ha empatado.
That was a much more exciting call than Joe Buck had.
I like the guy in the background, you know?
Just going crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Joe Buck was the guy in the background cheering for the Devil Rays?
He must have been. The Devil Rays?
Yeah, I said the Devil Rays.
Yeah, it's just the Rays.
Oh, that's right. They aren't the Devil Rays anymore.
Yeah, they haven't been.
That happened like 15 years ago, Joe.
Well, you know what? They'll always be the Devil Rays to me, okay?
But Joe Buck's call game was like, hey, Tampa wins. The ball gets away. Tampa wins. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, Joe.
That play was like, kind of like Little League a little bit. But even like, what's the video game? Here, I'll also age myself on this, too. It was, I think, a Nintendo game. And like, the ball would just go all over the place. You could throw it. I mean, if you didn't know how to play, it would, you know what I'm talking about?
No. Yeah,
no. All right, never mind. Anyone out there, if you know,
was it before 1992?
Yes.
Well, then, you're out of luck, buddy.
But it was very, it reminded me of that. You're throwing the ball all over the yard. Wild, man. Wild stuff. Devil Rays.
Can the Dodgers finish the job, Porth? Is this the year that they get it done? Kershaw, he's okay last night. 5 2/3.
I mean, has he repaired his legacy at this point now? Like, can
well,
we?
Well, look, they still got to finish this thing off, man.
Yeah, but I mean, him.
He had two great World Series starts
in
this series.
Can we stop with that stuff now? I mean, he's not going to have a hand. Well, I guess he possibly could have a hand out of the pen in game seven.
Game right? seven. Walker Buehler would start a game seven, former Vanderbilt Commodore.
Yep.
But I think there is going to have to be a Game 7 because Blake Snell is starting for Tampa Bay tomorrow night.
He's pretty good.
He is pretty good.
But I think Kershaw, just on his own, he's answered some stuff here. So good for him.
This is
I feel good for him.
This is very much like Peyton Manning with the Colts in, what was it, 06, 07, when he finally won the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Against Rex Grossman and company.
What a matchup.
Yeah.
But, hey, you're right. At that point, it was like, ah, can't beat Brady, can't win the big one. Yeah. So
you can hear game six tomorrow. 7:08 is the first pitch. ESPN 94.9?
102.5
the game. 102.5 the game tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Look at there. So make sure you're tuning in for that. Maybe some history. The Dodgers close it out for the first time since, what, 1988?
That's right.
First time in my life they would win.
Speaking of the craziness of the World Series, last night there was an attempted straight steal of home.
Yeah.
For the first time in the World Series game since 1982.
I like it.
Just some crazy stuff going on in the World Series.
82 Brewers Cardinals.
Wow. Did you know that off the top of your head?
Absolutely.
That's impressive.
Daryl Porter and the Ozzie Smith. Oh, yeah, man.
The Devil Rays were not around.
Robin Yount, Paul Molitor.
No Devil Rays.
They were not. They were neither the Rays nor the Devil Rays at that point. Should Straight steal at home. That is, yeah, that's some good stuff.
And he failed miserably.
I'm rooting for the Dodgers. Well, my good buddy Matt Beatty can get a ring.
Yeah. Nice. Munson continued to be a spoiled, pampered fan.
That's right.
You're rooting for the Dodgers to see a game seven. Can we all? We can all root for a game seven, right?
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, and get to see some Walker Buehler,
Mookie Betts,
right?
A lot of Nashville connection there.
Yeah, the Dodgers got a whole bunch of stuff going on. Let's go back to our text line quickly. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, "When your defense is weak on the front seven, don't get unsportsmanlike penalties on the bench." That's on Jeremy Pruitt, talking about the Vols and defense. Jeremy Pruitt has gotten a few. Few penalties so far this year.
Yeah, he gets emotional over there. I think Pruitt and the defense, again, this last game is hard because, yeah, I know, you take Waddle out, but still. But I thought overall we'd be looking at a better product on that side of the ball than we've seen so far. This is a big break to figure some of that stuff out, too, for him and that staff.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in, if he declares – maybe we replace Corey Davis with Jalen Waddle by drafting him after he got hurt like we did with Jeffrey Simmons. I'm just here to tell you this. Jalen Waddle, by the time the Titans are picking in the draft, I don't care if he did just get hurt, he ain't going to be there.
So was that the idea, Texter, basically that because of this injury that
maybe
he'll fall?
Slides.
Yeah, I doubt it.
He won't slide that far.
I mean, Simmons had questions about him, you know, because of the incident in high school, and then you also have an ACL right during the process.
Right.
And as long as Jalen Waddle's going to make a full recovery, which is what we're hearing, then, he'll be real high in that draft.
How about the Titans draft an actual pass rusher in round next year?
Yeah. Yep.
And then later in the draft, draft a kicker.
Ooh.
So that you're not going through the carousel again next season.
Drafting a kicker, baby.
Yeah, you could do that.
Could you go second round?
Roberto
Aguayo?
No.
No second round pick?
Not even the first round like Sebastian Janikowski.
Oh, yeah. Well, that one at least worked out for
that
a while.
One, yeah, that one at least was a
– Is Roberto Aguayo even in the league anymore?
Oh, I don't think so. Is he?
No.
I don't think so at all.
He wasn't drafted that long ago.
Jason Light, man. Whew. That's a toughie. That's, of course, John Robinson was there before here.
Has somebody asked him about that? Like, hey, did you have any decision-making whatsoever in drafting the kicks?
Well, he was gone then, I think.
Oh, was
right?
he gone then?
I think so. What year was that pick
made? I don't remember when
Aguayo
was drafted.
Oh,
Robinson was here already, I believe.
Probably.
Yeah.
And that was, so, was that God 16 for his or 17?
That's right.
I don't know if he'd been hired at that point.
I am all aboard the seventh-round pick drafting a kicker.
Come on. Yeah, like this year you draft Cole McDonald in the seventh round. What did that do for you?
Nothing.
Not a thing. Just draft
a
kicker.
Not one thing.
16, by the way, for Aguayo. So Robinson was here drafting Kevin Dodd. But still, it wasn't drafting a Roberto Aguayo.
So we're talking 2016 he was drafted.
Yep.
And he's not in the league.
I don't think he's been in the league for 2 years.
Yeah, it was a total flame out. See, the thing is, you go seventh round for a kicker, it's not a bad idea. But the carousel of guys floating around right now still might be better than that guy. You know, I mean, but pass rusher, I'm with you. Should have drafted Terrell Lewis was apparently the guy they were going to draft, and they drafted Darrington Evans instead.
Not
he'd help right now.
Yes, he would. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb texts in, the Titans will be just fine, clean up the third down, and we're 6-0 easy.
Just clean it up.
They haven't been able to clean it up all year.
Just clean up third down. Take that mop to the huge warehouse full of sludge.
Do you trust the defense?
61%.
Do you trust the defense to get it right or Gostkowski to get it right more?
Oh, Gostkowski. Yeah. I don't have any faith in this defense. We all keep waiting for it to turn around. I just think this is what they are. Adoree will help, but the pass rush sucks. I don't foresee that getting a whole lot better. You're six games in.
Yeah, I'd have to pick Gostkowski there. I'm a little bit less than you are. I'm a little more on the sunshine blower side than you are on the defense. Just I still think that they have players who can play better than this, but at what point is it like, well,
week 16, they'll figure it out. Well, hey, if they do, though, good timing. I still think your offense is good enough to make the playoffs at that point. So,
yes, absolutely.
Even without Taylor Lewan. Well, that is going to wrap it up for us today here on the show. Fun reaction. Appreciate everybody's participation on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans drop to 5-1. We'll look ahead to Cincinnati for the remainder of this week. Darren Donick and Chase is coming up next. They'll have your Titans reaction as well. This is ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.